And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday afternoon, 1:09 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside right around the 70-degree mark. We're seeing clearing skies moving in from the north and west. Still a few clouds out there right now, but again, we'll see more sunshine as we head throughout the day today. And temperatures pretty mild after a little foggy start. Should top out in the upper 70s today. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedewohr, live out in the Morton Building. So come on out and say hello to us.
Thank you to Morton Buildings, Red Wing Shoes, PetroServe USA for getting us here. We greatly appreciate it. And then All Seasons Motorsports has made sure we have golf carts to drive around because we got to get from place to place. There's a lot of action happening.
I know. I had a long walk from the parking lot.
And
I need the exercise, though.
There's good things going on. Now, stop by and pick up caps, visit with us, and also we've got the details for tomorrow morning's pancake breakfast.
Nice.
As well as tomorrow's concert. It's a free concert with country artist Josh Turner here at Big Iron.
And you know what? The weather is going to cooperate. We've had years out here where it's just been steaming hot.
Yeah,
and chilly.
I know.
And this is the Goldilocks forecast. This is just right kind of forecast. And we're going to continue with the nice weather all the way through the rest of the week, it looks like. After topping out at 78 today, and again, we'll have increasing sunshine. If you look northwest of town, you'll see nothing but blue sky. That's moving into the area. About 78 today with a light northeast wind, about 5 to 10. Tonight, we're going to see more fog redevelop as winds go light, and we'll drop down to a low in the lower 50s. We'll burn that fog off, and tomorrow, rinse and repeat, very similar to today, increasing sunshine throughout the day with highs in the upper 70s. The winds then kick in out of the south, a little breezy for Thursday and Friday, and that'll warm us up. Low 80s on Thursday, mid 80s on Friday with southeast winds about 10 to 25. There is a chance of an isolated storm or two Thursday night as that warmer air pushes into the area. And then as we head into the weekend, Saturday, probably the pick day it looks like right now with highs in the low 80s. And then more clouds and scattered storms on Sunday with highs in the upper 70s. Now, we are going to be going into the stormy part of our LRC cycle as we head into next week, and that means increasing chances for rain. So areas that have been really dry over the last week or so, and that's not everybody, but most everybody's going to pick up some precip as we head into the latter part of the weekend and especially into early next week. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. So just on schedule, again, stormy part of the LRC cycle coming through. Now, this brought us severe weather the last cycle out west of town.
Stop it.
So hopefully.
I don't need you to talk like that.
I do need a new roof, though, so I wouldn't mind a nice little hailstorm.
That's your place, not mine.
Yeah, just right over my house. Just right over my house.
Enough. And you know who
can help? That's all we need.
You know who can help you with that? This guy who's waiting so patiently to be our guest today, and that is Derek Boudry. Derek is the regional sales officer with AgriFinancial. Are roofs in your plans?
Depends on the
it depends on the building. Well, we're going to try to find out which building that might be. So, Derek, while we are making sure that we can pick you up with voice, I'm going to make sure that a mic or something is on for you. AgriFinancial. So, there's a few folks who are here who are exhibiting. You are one of them, but you've got a list of services that I think folks are interested in hearing about. What might those be?
Well, I guess what we offer a lot differently than anybody else is that we offer loans and leases. A lot of different financial companies only do one or the other. We do both. This provides any farmer producer with any kind of finance structure they could possibly need for their operation.
And Derek, what products? What kind of products do you offer?
Typically, we do a lot of real estate loans for land purchases, expansions, things like that. A lot of building leases for Morton Buildings, for example. Mm-hmm. Any other farm-type building that anybody needs to put up. Grain storage, equipment, drain tile, irrigation. We can do anything.
So that was going to be a question. A conversation right now is all the grain storage. We had so much go down in the storms here this summer from Velva all the way through Cass County. When you look at that, has that been a big run of discussion with you and your customers right now as for grain storage, or are you still having more when it comes to, say, equipment leases or anything like that?
I would say grain storage has been primarily probably the hottest thing right now. Obviously, those storms did create some chaos in the local marketplace as far as what happened to existing storage that was put up or at elevators.
Yep.
Now, the larger issue is that I've run into isn't the fact that people can't get it replaced. Mm-hmm. They got insurance. They got a lot of different things going on, but maybe they want to change some things,
sure,
tweak a few things. That's where I come in. The other factor in that is availability. You know, there's a lot of places that have bins, a lot of crews. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on in the country right now. But if anybody has any questions or wants more information, I'd love to be contacted to see if there's a way we can help you out.
And what's the best way to get a hold of you, Derek?
My cell phone, actually, is the best way to get a hold of me. I work from my pickup and from my house.
Okay. So
you and me both.
I don't have an office, per se, but my cell phone is 701-317-5348.
So, Derek, with all the things that you are doing right now, are you finding that folks are starting to come in now? Are you expecting a bit of a rush? So they should come in to see you now because the bigger rush is going to be coming after harvest. Is there any sort of planned opportunities that you want to take advantage of?
Well, it's no secret that the markets have not been friendly to us.
Not right now.
At the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, there has been some discussion with people out there of, you know, hey, I could be having a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they have a really good crop, but
yep,
the price just isn't there
to
get the kind of return that they need. So, yeah, some, you know, preemptive planning is always important.
Never surprise your banker kind of thing?
Yeah, that's tricky. We don't always like that. But, you know, if I find that honesty, you know, if you come and you have any kind of a plan or an idea, that's obviously beneficial because you know your operation better than we do, and to try to figure out a way to help you out.
Your relationship with your clients right now has been growing pretty tight because of commodity prices, that you're doing more on-farm lender visits, those types of things with them?
You know, it's been really hit and miss.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a certain group of people out there that want that, you know, a little bit more handholding or mm-hmm. help and constant contact. And that's fine. I like doing that.
Yeah.
There's other producers out there that just kind of want that transactional relationship, depending on it all depends on what they have going on.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, we do some operating loans. Our specialty is more in the asset purchase mm-hmm. and finance, not the true chattel secured operating loans.
Right.
So, you know, their primary point of contact on those will be their normal operating lenders.
I think that makes a big difference that people need to understand, is that you're there for those asset loans.
Yes.
Versus what they're doing on their operating right now.
Yep. I mean, there are some cases where we can provide operating.
Okay.
We do work with companies that we can help facilitate that with. We can do some real estate secured operating if people are in a position to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's what we do is more the kind of one-off purchases. If you got a piece of land that you want to buy, or a building, or a bin, or any kind of a grain system,
or you swing by here at the Morton building and have a talk with Derek because you just want to buy one of these.
Yeah,
right now.
That's totally fine too. I do a lot of them, so it's real easy.
This would be the perfect time to do it. You get all
right.
The salesmen in one room.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, one more time, you're with Agri Financial.
Yes.
And folks can reach you by phone at
701-317-5348.
Much appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to catch up on the livestock market with American Ag Network. We've continued to see some record highs in beef cattle. Well, let's find out what those look like. And when we return, we will be joined for On the Auction Block with Max Steffes of the Steffes Group. Well, if you haven't made plans to get to Big Iron, you might want to do that today. Swing by to the Morton building. We are here and we are visiting with all of our guests. Also, the shows are going to be here with ourselves, Jay Thomas, the Coffee Club, and more. Thank you to Morton Building, Red Wing Shoes, and PetroServe USA for making sure we got here. And thanks to All Seasons Motorsports. There's a golf cart out there with my name on it. I'm planning on using it a little bit later. Tonight is Cass County Farm Bureau's annual meeting. This is their 83rd annual meeting, I believe. For Cass County Farm Bureau, if you have not yet registered to attend that event, you still can. You can do that by giving a call to 701-321-2964. Again, that's at 5 o'clock tonight with the social hour, and their meal starts at 6. It's the 83rd annual Cass County Farm Bureau annual meeting. It's time for On the Auction Block with Max Steffes. Max.
Where's our music?
I'm going to need your auction chant at the end.
Okay.
Like, the outro.
The outro.
We'll
do it.
The outro for you. Okay, so valuation services. That's kind of a big deal that's coming up.
It is. It is.
What are you finding?
You know, well, first things first, what are valuation services? So everybody knows this as auctioneers first, but part of being in the auction business is knowing what you're selling and knowing what it's worth. So as a product of that, we get pretty good in terms of putting numbers on chattels, you know, for farmers and contractors in terms of valuing what they have in their line of machinery. And we've been doing that for decades and decades since Grandpa Bob started in 1965. And really what that involves is our team coming out to your farm or place of business and taking a look at a list of your assets and then going ahead and getting detailed descriptions of those items and telling you what we think those items are worth. So typically speaking, in renewal time, that's a big deal when you're mm-hmm. when you're going to the banker and trying to get that operating note renewed, or perhaps you're maybe shopping lenders and you want to have an understanding of where you're at. It's nice to do that. And of course, we've been providing that as a service to farmers and contractors for decades.
It's a little like an appraisal system.
It is an appraisal system, essentially.
Yeah. Yep. So just because gold went up and you need to check out your wife's gold ring, make sure that's still worth some money. You should also make sure that tractor's still valuable, too.
For sure. And we share all of our data at Steffes Group. You can go to steffesgroup.com and you can type in a 9600 and see the last 10 that we've sold. So you can get pretty close on your farm by doing it yourself. But
you're like a blue book.
You're biased, too, when you own the stuff, because it's just like a collector car, as right. Jay Thomas might talk about. It's always worth more to you.
Yep.
You know?
Yes.
So.
That tractor's worth
else. Yeah. So it's nice getting that unbiased opinion from a market perspective.
And Max, you got a real estate campaign coming up, correct?
Yeah. We got, you know, so most farms are sold after the crop has been harvested and before it's planted. So there's tons of real estate auctions coming up this fall. I think all said and done, we have, let's see here, back sheet, the exact number. There are 63 auction events and coming up in the month of September alone, and 19 of those are real estate auctions, including 4,015 acres of land across 16 different counties. So there's all sorts of farm real estate opportunities coming up this fall, September, and into the winter months.
Okay, quick question. Someone came to you, they wanted to do a real estate auction. How long does it take to get everything prepped and ready for that, making sure that you can take that sale online? Is this just a couple of weeks to sell something, or do you need a couple of months to get that online?
It depends on what you got, but 30 days has always been the gold standard for us to do a good job for you and for our marketing team to really flex its muscle and get the word out there and invite the world. 30 days has always been the number.
Okay, and that's primarily if we're thinking about farmland. Might take a little bit if you're talking about a turnkey agribusiness or something like that, because you're just going to need to spend more time and prep work on it.
Exactly, and that's where it depends. You know, if you've got a $5 million line of machinery and you've been farming at the same farm site for 152 years, three generations, four generations, and you've got 15 buildings that are chock full of items, and you want to get all those items sale ready, it's going to take time for our team to get in there and to itemize all those items and get them all organized and marketed appropriately.
Have you seen a lot more sales recently or auction for farmers saying, all right, my kids don't want, they don't want the farm. We're going to sell it. Are you seeing more and more of that?
Oh,
lately?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's all part of the generational turnover that's going on. And Bridget, you and I have talked about that. Just the numbers don't lie from the average age of the farmer perspective. And I would say the majority of our land sellers are a generation, two, and even three generations removed from the farm down in the I states. So a lot of those folks don't have any attachment to the farm. The first and second generations, we typically see those folks still having some sentimental attachment.
Sure.
Some of the third gen guys, they don't even know where the farm is.
No.
Some of them haven't even been to North Dakota before.
Yeah.
Wow.
They've just got, again, land has very much an emotional attachment to it, particularly farmland, I think.
Yeah.
And you're right. If you've never had that hold on it, you're willing to let it go.
Yep. You've never picked rock. You've never picked up sticks because of a straight line wind. You've never
planted
got stuck
trees
15 times or, you know every intricacy of the field. And with that, like you said, Bridget, they're just, it's hard to explain. It's hard to put into words, but there's an attachment that comes with that you just don't have if you haven't experienced that.
You become a little bit of an agronomic therapist at that point with those who do still have that attachment, but unfortunately may not have an heir to take it on.
For sure. And it's hard for people that have that attachment to realize that their kids don't have attachment.
Do you have any real estate auctions that are coming up that kind of stand out in your mind that are some to highlight?
You know, we can talk about it and we'll flip the page here because I'm always a good note taker. I try to be anyway. Mm-hmm. There's a couple auctions in Wright County, in Cocado, Minnesota on the 19th of September. Of course, here locally, we've got the Niesemeyer property north and east of Leonard. That's going to be 600 and some odd acres that's coming up.
Okay.
This week, I guess I should be top of mind here. Tomorrow, we've got 142 acres selling on the northeast side of Fairmont, North Dakota, nice tillable farmland, closing at 10 tomorrow.
Okay.
Thursday, we've got some stuff in Lemoore County that's going to be selling on Thursday morning, and then into next week, all sorts of activity. And then some really cool hunting properties. Yesterday, I was up in Black Duck, Minnesota, and we got 80 acres with a shack on it, a wood cabin, called the Whiskey Shack, and I'm really excited about that.
Please tell me you'd send the name with on that sale. That gets to go along in the
I think
title
it goes
transfer.
Along with it, yep. It's a pretty cool place. He rents it out 200 nights a year and made it all by hand, and it's just a really neat property, manicured trails.
How many acres?
80 acres.
80 acres.
80 acres.
That's a lot of room to roam.
It is a lot of room.
Area.
It's funny, Bridget. We were up there yesterday, and, you know, 80 acres in our country doesn't seem that big. But when you get back in the sticks, it's like, I mean, we were a quarter mile away from my truck, but it felt like we were 3 miles.
Yep.
Where are we?
There's a reason we call it stump jumper territory.
Yep.
Up there.
Yep. There you go. There you go.
With all the things that are coming up with Stuffus, where are the best spots? First of all, they could come see you here at Big Iron, right? For anybody who has an interest and wants to visit.
For sure. We love Big Iron. Big Iron is our opportunity to see people that we don't get to see very often anymore. And we'll visit with a lot of people this week about having auction sales this fall. And some guys just swing by our booth and just drop a card and say, or grab a card, I should say, and say, come see me next week, come call me next week, because
right.
they don't want to, you know, visit with the neighbors in front of an auctioneer. But there's a lot of people that might have a quarter or might have a tractor or something that they want to sell, and they'll stop at the booth, or maybe, you know, what's this worth, or what do you think of this, or what that bring. We love those conversations, and we love to visit with you over at the Expo Building, C2.
You'll be here all 3 days.
All 3 days, yep.
But if, in fact, they miss the opportunity, someone is listening and says, well, I should talk to Stephas. Call you?
Give us a call. We'll come out and see you.
Okay.
Max, before you go, what's the craziest thing that you guys have had to auction off? What is there any particular thing that comes to mind?
Brad says it was bras at a general store closing up in the northeast part of the state. I will remember that story forever.
Yeah, mine was that I think the 6-foot cast iron chicken. Yeah, that was the craziest thing I ever sold.
A 6-foot cast iron chicken. Do you remember what it went for?
And it was like $800.
Really?
And the best part was the guy had a 5-foot one, and a 3-foot one, and a 2-foot one.
I have some off-air jokes I'd like to make after we shut the headphones off.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Yes,
that was pretty interesting.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Bridget.
All right, Addison, you can run that auctioneer's chant. And, folks, after the news, we'll be back with more guests. And when things get dirty during harvest, take them to that Coral Laundromat, because they are our studio sponsor. They're going to do a fantastic job, whether it's diesel-soaked clothes, mud-covered, if we're working in mud this year, hydraulics, and so much more. They'll get you cleaned up and ready to go. You can find them very close by. They are on Veterans Boulevard at 3620. We're out at Big Iron. Dean and I are spending some time visiting with guests today. Next up for us are the ladies from My Ag Data. So, Michelle, do you want to introduce who you are?
Sure. Hi, I'm Michelle Tressel, and I'm the CEO of My Ag Data. And we're really excited to be here with the crew and talk a little bit about how we can save growers time, save them money, increase their APH, and guess what? They don't have to do anything different on their farming operation.
Hold on. What's APH? You can't use terms like that without a definition.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. For your yield per acre.
Okay. Yep.
Awesome. So nice to meet you, Kat.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Name is Catherine Clower, here with My Ag Data. Super excited to talk here with Bridget and Dean.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And you finally got here. After a few delays.
And you think about it, too. It's summertime, getting into fall and not winter.
Right.
Winter delays.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys have a booth here at Big Iron. What have farmers been asking about when they walk up?
Yeah, so we've actually had a really great turnout at our booth. We've had lineups at some points of growers trying to find out what we're doing. And it's interesting, whenever you have a booth and there's some people hanging out, everybody wants to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're big fans of that.
Absolutely.
But what we're doing is we take a very manual reporting requirement that every grower that wants to participate in either a federal farm program or crop insurance is required to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you out there that are farmers that knew what APH was before I had to define it, these are your paper maps that you fill out from the FSA. We have worked alongside the USDA for 12 years, done five pilots, successfully launched nationwide this previous spring, and we are set to help modernize the USDA. For those of you that listen to Brooke Rollins or to our President Trump, we all know that there is a huge push to modernize and make things more efficient. That is what we do.
Now, Michelle, everybody likes to save money, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can help our farmers save money on their crop insurance. Explain how.
Yeah. So for those of you farmers that are not only familiar with APH, you will also be familiar with CLUs, Common Land Units, Bridget.
Thank you.
Common
the teacher
Land Units.
Appreciates that.
You are welcome. Common Land Units were designed by design made larger than the way a farmer actually plants. From our research across the country, what we have found is between a 3 and 10% variance on the common land units being larger than the way farmers actually plant. So we do have two ways we can help growers. We can just purely digitize their common land unit report, their paper maps. They do it all from home. They can do it 24/7. They don't have to go into the FSA office if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also, if they want to save money, we actually have cloud connects to My John Deere, Climate Field View, Case IH, and a grower can, for the first time, use their actual submit their report. 3 to 10% difference, therefore, average 1,500-acre grower is going to save $3,000 a year.
That adds up.
It does.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to add up this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to tell you this. So what's the first step? So, Catherine, if you have folks that are thinking, all right, I'm interested, especially because I want to plan ahead for my 2026 growing season, should they have that conversation at FSA now with their county to say, can I do this? Are you prepared for me?
Yeah. So growers, you know, we've had previous growers reach out to their local FSA offices, you know, and there are times that some of those FSA folks don't realize who we are, but with the notice CP-782 that came out, it verifies that we are a verified third party that they can use My Ag Data to certify and report their acres.
I also think it's important to note we are at on the cusp of harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And once harvest has ended, we start thinking about the 2026 year pretty hard. I mean, we're already making fertilizer purchases, et cetera. And we have a lot of agribusinesses who are listening who may think, I need an interesting speaker to talk during one of my grower meetings this year. Could that be you to help farmers understand this at a more local level?
Most definitely.
Yeah, we'd welcome the opportunity to come in and educate. As Kat mentioned, this is a new process for most growers. Mm-hmm. We, of course, have been doing it since the 2014 Farm Bill, testing alongside the USDA. But from a nationwide push, this has only been around a year. So education is a big part of growers understanding that this is available to them now and that they can start saving money as quickly as spring of 2026. So to answer a little bit more about your question about should they reach out to FSA now, get their data, start getting prepared. Get their data uploaded into MyAgData. They can start working on their boundaries now. Have everything but their planting pretty much ready for next spring so they can have almost everything done before they step into the tractor next year.
When you think about, you're talking about, you mentioned the Farm Bill, and you've been in there since the 2014 Farm Bill. We don't really have a Farm Bill right now. Okay, that's fair. We've got this skinny thing that came on after the One Big Beautiful Bill that's pending. Do you anticipate some verbiage in the next Farm Bill in favor of using things like MyAgData for that adoption and digitalization for farmers?
Yeah, we do see that direction. I had the opportunity to meet with Secretary of Ag, Brooke Rollins, a couple of months ago when she was here in Fargo.
Yep.
And from conversations with her, along with Richard Fordyce, who I'm hoping I hear is going to be confirmed next week.
Knock on wood.
That's hot off the press. And also with Bill Beam. Across the board, the conversation has been we have to make the process more efficient, not only for farmers, but for the FSA as well. We want the FS, the hardworking folks in the FSA office, we want them to have the ability to talk about important programs.
Yes.
And how they can lean in and help growers, not sitting there manually typing in data off of a paper map.
I had the opportunity to spend some time with an intern for the Stutzman Barnes County areas here in North Dakota this summer, and she just said, wow, just a second, I wouldn't have to retype all that information. That would be sort of handy. So with the workloads that we have at USDA offices, mm-hmm. it would be of benefit for these things to move pretty quickly, because she said based on where they were at, they were about 3 to 4 weeks late in getting that information in and certified.
Yeah, I would also add one of the things we've been talking to growers about in the booth today mm-hmm. is, you know, we've had, it was about 50-50, 50% of the growers would be quite happy to not go in the FSA office again. the other 50% love going in. Mm-hmm. And what our conversation has been there has been, you want them, A, to have the time to focus on programs.
Yes.
But B, my question has been, how many folks did you lose out of that office this year?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. The manpower dwindling is going to make a big impact by the time we get to time to put those acres back in next spring.
Well, Bridget, too, on top of that, working with FSA folks this past reporting season for 2025,
yep.
we had FSA technicians grateful for MyAgData because of the loss of decrease of workers in those county offices.
Yes.
They were like, this saved us so much.
Yep.
Being able to be efficient in the office and with a decrease in staff.
Yes.
They really leaned in on us this year.
That makes an impressionable difference at this point. You know, the MAHA report that was most recently linked, it's not the real one yet, we're still waiting, but that was recently leaked. And there is a bullet point in there that talks about improvement of digital work for farmers. And it doesn't specifically talk about USDA or anything like that, but just how we can improve digital access. You're probably on the top of that list right now. We just have to get it pushed forward, if that makes sense. And you've been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been working on it, as I mentioned, since the 2014 Farm Bill. And what we have really seen is from this current administration, there just isn't going to be an excuse any longer in not moving forward with making things easier for farmers.
Right.
I took one of our grower advocates and I visited D.C. and met with about 12 folks from FPAC. And my grower advocate, he sat there and he said, many of you know Steve.
Yeah.
And he sat there and he said, you know, I've been farming for 50 years and I have incredible equipment and that can help me be incredibly precise as I think about the way I farm. And then I go to do my regulatory reporting and I have to get out a stone tablet and a chisel.
It's 1984.
Yeah. And I will say around the table in D.C. at FPAC, there were nods, and they know that they have to solve this. And to quote Richard Fordyce, you know, one farmer, one form.
And a savings of money, not just in the crop insurance, but this saves us governmentally.
Correct.
Yes.
And that's a big deal right there, kids.
Yes. There is, with the inefficiency in the process right now, there's in excess of $1 billion annually that could be saved.
Wow.
Yes. So I have some of your cards with your QR code on it so people can go right to your website. They can stop right here in the Morton building and pick those up from us. We will make sure that people also get to your booth so they can talk with you directly. Hopefully you're making the rounds of all the insurance companies that are here so you can talk to crop insurance folks in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
But once again, what's your website address so people can find you?
It's myagdata.com.
And we hope that they all go there very soon.
Yeah. Check us out at Building K.
Okay.
Here at Big Iron.
Great.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Great. Well, hey, we'll shove the... You thought the lines were long today.
No.
We'll get them longer for you tomorrow.
I got people coming tomorrow, kids. People tomorrow.
Love it.
Well, when we come back, we're going to have a recap of the weather. We've got some really nice weather. I'll tell you what, if you're going to, you know, for the harvest, we're dry conditions so far.
If you said anything other, I was going to be upset.
Well, then you might be upset in the forecast that I've got for you coming up next week. We'll touch on that coming up right after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. 1:54 in the afternoon. Temperatures outside 74 degrees here in town, 72 in Yulin. Most everybody in the low to mid 70s. A little bit warmer in the Northern Valley. Temperatures Grand Forks northward in the upper 70s. There's been a little more sunshine up north, and we're all experiencing sunshine in the FM area. And if you're not, areas down to our south, in the far Southern Valley, you'll see that clearing coming in from the north as we head throughout the rest of the afternoon, with temps today topping out in the upper 70s. And then tonight, it's going to be another repeat. We're going to see some areas of fog. Some areas will have a little dense fog. Some really won't see much at all. But there will be areas of fog. Don't be surprised if there's a dense fog advisory issued for parts of the area overnight tonight as we drop off into the low 50s. That'll burn off tomorrow like it did this morning,
yep.
And we'll be left with another great afternoon to come out to Big Iron tomorrow.
I was going to say, there was some fog this morning.
Yep.
I had several reports like down by Wappen and up by Devil's Lake.
Yep, and so, again, a repeat tomorrow morning, but then the rest of the day looks beautiful. Make sure to come out to Big Iron here. Stop by the Morton Building, say hi to us. We'll be in the upper 70s tomorrow. Then the winds pick up a little bit on Thursday and Friday. We turn breezy, but a little summer-like warmth coming in here. Low 80s on Thursday, mid 80s on Friday. A slight chance of storms Thursday night, but again, we're not looking at a lot out of that. And then the weekend, Saturday looks halfway decent, low 80s, and then we'll have more clouds on Sunday, upper 70s, scattered showers and storms come in Sunday, and then we start to enter the stormy part of our LRC cycle as we head into mid-month, which is next week. So we'll start to see. I was looking at some of our extended models in terms of how much precip are we expecting over the next, let's say, 10 to 14 days. And across much of the upper Midwest, we're looking at about 1 to 2 inches of rainfall over the next 10 to 14 days. Probably not ideal.
Scattered showers. You know what? If I got that in like a two-day time frame where it was nice and soaking in instead of just a little bit here and a little bit there and it keeps blocking us from getting stuff done.
Right.
I did have a grower stop by from Manville as we were getting started today. And he said, you know, they're trying to, you know, get dry beans off up there. So we don't want to interfere with that. We'd like to get them off because quality matters.
So we'll have about a week of wet weather from about Sunday through next week, and then as we hit towards about the 23rd through the end of the month and into that first part of October,
Sure. It
looks like we'll go back into that dry part of the LRC cycle.
Well, while folks are out here, by the way, not only to stop and see us in the Morton Building, but we want them to stop and thank our sponsors for Here We Grow, where we raised our wheat field this summer. I just saw Jim and Michael Yulin out here earlier today. That was before lunch. They're out walking around. We also want to say thank you to Codico Fuels and Propane, as well as Ellingson Companies. They have been a big part of this project throughout the summer.
Yeah, and for our ag community, Gary is running some really good specials.
Mm-hmm. We have a card and everything right here.
Yeah, we've got some data here or some pamphlets here for LRC. If you're interested in signing up for the LRC, Gary is running some great specials. So stop by the Morton Building and get that information. And Gary be more than happy, or will be more than happy, to talk with you about it and how it can help your ag industry.
Honestly, I've got folks that are using it now. Because they're thinking about it as they're planning for their farm. But also weddings, graduations. I mean, there's stuff all the time that you're kind of wondering, should I plan this or that
right. During
the time?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is going to be jam-packed out here. Don't forget we have Wednesday weather trivia. I hope we fit that in, Dean.
Oh, we'll
fit it in. Okay, we got a lot of things going on. You'll be able to call us on the JLA Insurance phone line for that tomorrow, 701-293-9000.
All right, so that'll do it for us here out in the Morton Building for Weather and Ag in Focus. But don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.